Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Mad Chat, the only pro wrestling debate show that you can find here at StevenYouTube.com/Steve and Larson. It's WrestleMania Day, Larson!
Hooray! No, it's Rusev Mania Day. Get
it's
it right.
Rusev Mania Day! Wow. Fantastic. What a great day it is. Here we are. This is the last time you're going to see us in this office. It's a Sunday show. We are hours away from our WrestleMania live stream, the kickoff show.
Depending on when people are watching this.
Yeah. If you're watching this Sunday morning, which I'm assuming everybody watches it immediately. If you're watching this on Sunday prior to WrestleMania, hey, check out later on twitch.tv/Steven Larson, our WrestleMania kickoff show reaction stream, the first annual Larson Minoru Suzuki Open Challenge.
Virtual Pro Wrestling 64.
Yeah, I am going to try to beat you as Minoru Suzuki.
You have yet to do that.
I've yet to do that. So that's a lot of fun. And then the main card, we're going to be doing our live stream reactions. We are not going to be showing the show. You can do that for free right now on the network. But we're going to have our reactions at youtube.com/Steven Larson. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. We are also available all standard places. Patreon.com/Steven Larson. Right now, Pro Wrestling Tees. Tomorrow's the last day. Get your t-shirt today. The brand new Going In Raw logo. It's brand new. It's going to be our new official logo. It is available in t-shirt form right now for 20% off. Everything in the store, everything on Pro Wrestling Tees is 20% off. Yeah. Go check it out. ProWrestlingTees.com/Going In Raw. We have a lot of questions to get through today.
We do.
Of course, if you want to be on Matt Chat, if you want to submit a video question, you can do so on the Patreon, Patreon.com/Steven Larson. At the $20 a month and up mark, you can submit your weekly video question to Matt Chat. $20 a month might sound like a bunch, but hey, we're a popular pro wrestling podcast, so of course it's going to cost a bunch of money to get your face on here. Let's kick it off with, is Dustin Weiss, is he a new Matt Chatter?
He is.
Welcome to the show, Dustin Weiss. What's your question?
What's up, Steven Larson? Dustin here with my very first Matt Chat question. Question today, being that it seems painfully obvious that Daniel Bryan and or Shane McMahon is going to turn on one or the other and turn heel, what I want to know... Steve, you argue the fact or the point that Daniel's going to turn on Shane and the reason why. Larson, you argue why Shane's going to turn on Daniel and the reason why. Thanks, guys. Too sweet. Hearty handshake. Thanks.
Thank you, Dustin.
So there seems to be the sentiment out there amongst many friendos that there will be a heel turn going down during the Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon match.
Yes.
And Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens match.
We're not convinced of it.
I'm not convinced. I don't see a lot of logic in it.
I don't, but based on, you know, he asked us this question.
Yeah.
So we're going to answer it.
I'll go first. Daniel Bryan. It actually, the only thing that makes sense, and to be honest, I would love to see it. I just don't think it's going to happen. Daniel Bryan is old friends with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And so it could make a modicum of sense for him to turn heel, to side with them against Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan have had this ongoing passive aggressiveness going on. So it could make some amount of sense for him to turn heel on Shane McMahon. I would love to see those three running SmackDown as a heel force. It would be wildly entertaining. Daniel Bryan would probably be having a great time.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, I would love to see it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that would put them in a tremendous conundrum because he sells a ton of merch. The crowd loves him. The crowd would then be forced to kind of cheer for a heel team. I'm not sure they want that. Any face they go up against would be booed. So that's my thought on that.
You know how you get around all that? Have Shane McMahon turn heel. Here's the thing.
Even less sense.
You can't have him turn heel and then align with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn because, yes, that would make absolutely no sense. However, you could have him turn heel, betray Daniel Bryan at Mania, using this logic as thin as what it is. Yeah, my beef with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn started with me, but Daniel Bryan, you made this whole situation a heck of a lot worse. I know you apologized on SmackDown this last week. Nonetheless, I had diverticulitis because you kept on bringing Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens back. Yeah, if they lose this match, they're gone forever, but yeah. But if they win, I can still just fire him again.
That's a good point.
I can abuse my authority as heel Shane McMahon. So that's really the only way they could do it. There's no way they can align Shane with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in any capacity and have anybody believe it. But then again, Shane lost his match against The Undertaker,
yeah,
and yet he stuck around.
Yeah, but that was weird.
It was weird.
Everybody kind of acknowledged that was weird. I don't see them doing that again. That's not going to be Shane's normal gimmick. Lose a stipulation match and then just go through with the stipulation.
Yeah, you never know.
It could be. Never know.
It could be. It could be.
Next up, Mr. Dope. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, friendos. It's Mr. Dope here. So WrestleMania is a few days away, and Strowman still doesn't have a tag team partner. I personally believe it's going to be Neville. Let me know if it's a good idea or a bad idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dope.
Where is he? Did he look like he was at a circus fairground of some sort? There was like weird light bulbs.
It looked like a carousel.
Like a carousel. Was he on a carousel? What are you doing?
I don't know.
Anyways. Like a funnel cake? Maybe some popcorn?
Oh, that sounds good.
Now I'm hungry.
Yeah, funnel cakes are delicious.
Yeah.
Anyways, to answer Mr.
Do you know how much discipline it took for me to cut that burrito I had in half and give half of it to Marissa? All the discipline. All my discipline points were in that burrito.
I go first.
Yeah.
Neville as Strowman's tag team partner. Yeah. Yeah. Bring Neville back in. That's all I really care about, is bringing Neville back.
That's a good point.
Any avenue which leads Neville back to WWE on the main roster with the hopes of achieving massive success as Mean Neville, I am 100% on board with. Have him be Braun's tag team partner. Mean Neville, Braun Strowman. They can hold those belts for a little while. Dysfunction between them. They can feud. Win or lose, it's still a good opportunity for Neville. And from there, he can go on and win some mid-card titles before 2 years down the line, maybe getting into a program or two for the Universal or WWE title. Neville has all the talent in the world. He's one of the best wrestlers, as we saw when he turned heel. He's one of the best talkers, too. Really, just any way Neville gets back on my TV screen, whether it be in WWE or even New Japan or Ring of Honor, I just want it to happen. I want more Neville. Give me more Neville. All the Neville. More Neville.
Okay, I want all the Neville too,
all
but here's
Neville.
The thing. Not as Braun's partner. Here's the problem. So imagine the situation. They say, Neville, we'd like to bring you back. You're going to be Braun Strowman's partner. So immediately, if Neville says yes in your scenario, if he says yes, you have opened the gates to Neville coming back. The problem with him coming back as Braun Strowman's partner is that he will be overshadowed by Braun Strowman. Neville works best as a heel. Although having his heel persona be tag team champions with Braun would be probably entertaining, I just don't see them pairing Braun with a heel, in which case we'd get face Neville. Not going to happen. Doesn't work. I don't like it. So if you have Neville saying yes, he'll come back to be Braun's partner, then you can equally get Neville to say, yes, I'll come back as heir apparent to the United States Championship or the Intercontinental Championship, because who wouldn't want to see him face any of the competitors in the WrestleMania Intercontinental Championship match? In any event, I think that bringing Neville back would be great. Give me all the Neville, but I do think bringing back a Strowman's tag partner would be a bad idea. That the end.
Yes to Neville.
Yes to Neville. Yes to Neville.
Yes to Neville.
Yes.
In any capacity.
Except this one.
You'd rather have no Neville?
No.
Okay.
Yes to Neville in this capacity if it's the only way we get Neville.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
If it's the only way, then
if
yes.
If it's the only way, then yes. But if it's not the only way, then no.
All right. But yes to Neville supersedes
all of it. Yes to Neville
all
supersedes everything.
All right. I'm making sure we're on the same page in that respect.
Prime Neville is yes to Neville.
Yes. Okay.
Next up, we've got a great question from Drew Compton. Kind of along the same lines as the Mr. Dope question. Let's see what he has to ask.
Hey, friendos, I'm Drew Compton, and this is my first ever video question for Matt Chat, and it's about Braun Strowman. Now, as of recording this on Tuesday afternoon, we have yet to find out who his tag team partner is going to be for WrestleMania. So with that said, Steve, tell us why come it's going to be James Ellsworth. And Larson, tell us why it has to be Lars Sullivan. Thanks, gents. Do boobies.
Thank you, Drew Compton.
Do boobies indeed, Drew Compton. Do boobies. I'll go first. I actually really like the idea of Ellsworth. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he signed with Impact. He signed with like a bunch of other places. I'm sure if WWE really wanted him, they could get him out of all that. As far as I know, Impact is on like day contracts these days. But no, I think it'd be fantastic. I think Ellsworth would actually be. He was on our list of people we wanted to see, and I'm not sure how high we put him, but to me, he would be plenty high. Here's the logic in Ellsworth. Braun doesn't want a partner. Braun doesn't feel like he needs a partner. Therefore, Braun's partner should be somebody who merely can lace up boots, and that's it. Yeah. Don't get in the way. Don't be annoying. I'm not tagging you in at all. You're just along for the ride. I would love, and Ellsworth did such great work as a heel manager, valet, whatever, to Carmella. I would love to see him in the same role with Braun Strowman. I think it would be fantastic. So my answer is Ellsworth.
Give me Lars Sullivan. Lars Sullivan is pretty much the Braun Strowman of NXT at this juncture. So why not just essentially have T-Bar face two Braun Strowmans?
Oof.
That would most certainly
brutal
guarantee Braun and Lars the tag team championships.
True.
If you're in NXT, you eliminate the potential conundrum of having so many top tier guys mm-hmm. you want to put belts on. And having Lars, this unbeatable force, stand in the way of a lot of potential storylines.
Mm-hmm.
Just have Lars come up to Maine, set him up with Braun immediately, have him form a dominant tag team together, mm-hmm. and he can launch his main roster career that way, as opposed to winning the NXT title first, then coming up to Maine.
Yeah.
And then that way you can bring up to Maine without eating any pins, where in NXT, if he were champion, odds are, unless they went the Oscar route, which I doubt they would do, he would have to eat a pin or two to lose the belt and the rematch that always happens.
Mm-hmm.
So make it Lars.
Two great answers.
Yes.
Next up from
Christian!
Hey, friendo. This is the Hall of Famer Christian here with a Matt Chat question for you guys today. Got on my Shield merch. Question to you guys is, what is the greatest wrestling story ever told? Simple. Too sweet, hearty handshake. And my next couple of Matt Chat questions will be from a special place.
Thank you, Christian! Oh, man. Well, you go first.
Do I? Oh, I do. So this is the first answer that popped in my head. I don't know if it's necessarily the best, but it's the most memorable for me.
Sure.
And that is the Mega Powers.
Yeah.
The union of Hulk Hogan and Randy Macho Man Savage. The destruction of the Mega Powers, and how that story took, I don't know, a good 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Starting before WrestleMania 4, Hogan helped Macho Man win the title at WrestleMania 4, carried on through that whole year leading up to their dissolution as a team in feud going into WrestleMania 5, where Hogan picked up the belt. Along that way, Macho Man's on-screen relationship with Miss Elizabeth came to an end. And if you follow that storyline all the way through, it takes you all the way to WrestleMania 7, where Macho Man and Elizabeth reunited. I believe the following SummerSlam, they married in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of long-term storytelling, that's 3.5, maybe 4 years of storytelling. That's kind of unheard of these days, almost unheard of back then.
Mm-hmm.
But especially at the peak of the tension between Mega Powers, it was heated, it was believable,
mm-hmm.
And it was captivating wrestling storytelling, culminating in some pretty decent matches. Give me the Mega Power story. My
estimation is
the greatest wrestling story told to date.
All right. Well, it's maybe second best, because that was the first thing I came up with. And then you said, I already took that. And I said, okay, well, I got it then. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Vince McMahon. I actually think, now, after I thought about it, I actually think that this storyline probably eclipses the Mega Powers, simply because it was so wildly entertaining. It shot the company to new heights, to heights that it has never reached since, probably never will reach again. It was the A story throughout the Attitude Era, throughout the peak of the Attitude Era. It was Stone Cold Steve Austin versus McMahon, because you had so much interweaving with other superstars. At one point, The Rock joined McMahon as his corporate champion. You had Mankind in there mixing it up. At points, you had DX in there mixing it up. But the focal point was always Austin McMahon.
Corporate ministry.
The corporate ministry, the corporate rumble. So you had all sorts of great stories. This was the A story from the A period of the WWE. It was a story that anybody and everybody can relate to. A guy who has a crap boss who takes advantage of his power, and he rebelled against that. True working man's fantasy, escapism, wrestling at its best. McMahon versus Austin.
Here's the problem with that story, though. Austin's heel turn at WrestleMania 17 didn't make any sense. Didn't really lead to a satisfying conclusion to the story. Whereas Mega Powers, with the reunion of Macho Man and Elizabeth and their subsequent nuptials, satisfying ending to the story.
Maybe. I don't know. What did Hogan have to do with that? The nuptials at the end of that story?
That doesn't matter. It was the tension between Mega Powers.
Who were in the Mega Powers?
Macho Man and Hogan.
Exactly. So Hogan should be central to the end of that
Hogan
story.
Hogan was dealing with Sergeant Slaughter WrestleMania 7, man.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. Yeah, no, look, man. No wrestling story really has a true satisfying ending, though. I mean, like, you know, maybe Bret Hart in WWF. The Montreal Screwjob.
Hold on. We'll get to that later.
Okay. Next up. Oh, Lord.
Adam Mahan.
I need a piece of paper so I can write my no. So this is the last episode from this office. He is banned from our... Because he lives nearby.
He's not banned from the office.
He's banned from the office. No, he's not. I'm going to write a sign that says no Adam Mahan.
Well, I'm going to rip it down.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, what a bummer.
I vetoed that decision.
You vetoed it?
Let's hear his question, though. Here we go. Adam Mahan, what do you have to say?
Buenas tardes, friendo universo. Bienvenidos to another edition of Chit Chat with the Champ. All right, Steven Larson, quick and easy. I know this is going to come out on Sunday, which is WrestleMania, but I got this question. According to the build, every single championship match, it looks like we're going to have new champions. So my question is, who is actually going to successfully defend their belts? Because I seriously doubt WWE is going to just have all new champions. So, Steven Larson picks someone that's going to actually retain their title. And why? Take it easy.
Thank you, Adam Mahan.
Thank you, Adam Mahan. You're banned.
Not banned. You go first.
Okay, so we did our predictions. They're up now. You can watch them. And in those predictions for WrestleMania, I predicted The Miz and Randy Orton are retaining. The Randy Orton retention is I'm not very confident about at all. The Miz, I'm fairly confident, although it could be him or Finn Balor. It's a toss-up. But I do think that it's going to be one of these two individuals or both retaining their titles, although to be honest, I kind of like your answer better. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, Theebar. I'm saying Theebar retains. Disregard the arguments I made for Braun's tag team partners in two of the previous questions.
Okay, good.
Here's a situation I can see where Braun finds himself a partner. One partner I speculated on in our predictions was The Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his partner that takes the pin, leading to a feud between Braun and his partner. That way, Theebar retains the titles, Braun doesn't need a pin, and Braun has something to do after Mania. It satisfies a lot of criteria. There's got to be at least one successful title defense at Mania. And my gut tells me this is going to be it. The Miz just had a kid. He might be taking some time off.
Mm-hmm.
You have this Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss feud. It just makes all the sense in the world for Nia to pick up the win in that match.
True.
So that for me, that leaves Theebar retaining.
Yeah.
Theebar retains.
Okay, that's a good answer. Next up from the enforcer himself, Stevie Bradley. Let's see what he has to say.
What is up, Steven Larson? It's your boy, the official Going In Raw enforcer, Stevie Bradley here. Got a quick Matt Chat question for you. After WrestleMania, the two top belts, the Universal and the Heavyweight belts, whoever's holding them, what is their first feud? Too Sweet, Hearty Handshake.
Thank you, Stevie B.
Thank you, enforcer.
I go first.
Yeah, you go
first.
All
right, so I've been hearing reports... reading reports about Samoa Joe being, I don't know about first in line, but close to the front of the line in terms of feuding with Roman Reigns for that Universal title. I think that's a great choice. They've had matches. They've had little bits of feuds here and there on Raw, but nothing protracted or sustained, so I'd like to see that. Joe is one of the best wrestlers in the world, one of the best guys on the mic.
Yeah, dude.
and I feel like he can pull some quality matches out of Roman Reigns. I also thought Drew McIntyre.
Oh, that'd be good.
It would be great for Drew to have a feud with Reigns. I just don't want him to come out on the short end of that feud.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the reason I didn't go with Drew initially. Over on SmackDown, I'm guessing there should be some shaking up of the rosters after Mania.
Okay.
So if that happens, I could see Seth Rollins, fresh after losing a shot at the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania, getting shipped over to SmackDown, maybe in exchange for AJ Styles. Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Dream match. I don't know if they've wrestled before. I could take 2 minutes and look it up, but I'm not going to.
Oh, sound, yeah, okay.
Definitely haven't wrestled in WWE. It's probably been a good, at least, I don't know, 5 to 7 years since they did. If they did, give me that match. Seth versus Nakamura would be fantastic. Match, series of matches, great feud. I want to see it.
I like your answers. I'm going to go with my answers, though. Over on Raw, I'm going to say Seth Rollins is not going to go to SmackDown, and I'm going to say he sticks around to say, hey, old Shield running buddy, come on. Let me get a shot at that title. Maybe he'll turn heel. Maybe he won't. I don't know. I really miss Seth Rollins as a heel, to be honest with you.
yeah, so, it looks like maybe, unless this is video game footage. It's video game footage.
You got to look up Tyler Black.
I did.
Oh, you did. Good job. But you couldn't find it.
Yeah, I haven't found it yet. Good. Anyways, continue.
Anyways, so I'm going to say Seth Rollins takes on Roman Reigns to kick things off. And over there on SmackDown against Shinsuke Nakamura, this is my favorite answer. I really love this answer. I'm going to say a debuting called up Andrade Cien Almas. He loses the title at TakeOver to Aleister Black. He goes over to SmackDown, which I think is a great spot for him. And he challenges Nakamura. They have some history, of course, in Japan. He started up while he was in CMLL, Los Ingobernables. And so, yeah, I mean, they can reference that. They cannot reference it. I don't really care. I would love to see Andrade Almas out there. I'd love to see Zelina Vega talking crap to Nakamura. I think it'd all be great.
I think it would be good, too.
I think it'd be a great way to kick off Andrade Almas's sure to be disappointing run on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
But this would be a great way to ensure that maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not.
Yeah, he puts on some good matches with Nakamura, some great segments, and it would set up far more for success than a feud against Dolph.
Just no cheesiness. You don't need any cheesiness. Just keep it real.
Yeah.
Just keep it straight up.
Yeah. Next, from Matthew E. Williams, Esquire. Let's see what he has to say.
Friendos, I'm back. The King of the Midwest, the Western States Heritage Champion, Matthew E. Williams, Esquire. And I've got a question for you. So, the Undertaker streak over. WrestleMania season, though, needs a new streak. Who deserves a new streak of undefeated at WrestleMania? You can pick any wrestler currently in the WWE, currently in NXT, maybe even some of these possible prospects, your James Storms. But I'm going to go with Keith Lee. We need to bask in his glory. Too sweet and a hearty handshake. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Matthew E. Williams.
That was prime Matthew E. Williams Esquire.
Oh, that was
from
great.
Empire of Pain.
Yeah, absolutely. Taking us back to WWE 2K17 Fun Wrestling.
Yeah. Great question, though. A new WrestleMania undefeated streak. I'm going to go. I put this name here. I'm going to change it, though. I'm going to say... No, I'm gonna go here. Aleister Black.
All right.
It's Aleister Black. I think he kind of, in some ways, could be heir apparent to The Undertaker if he decides to wrestle for like 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably already mid-30s or whatever. But, I'm going to say Aleister Black. I think that if you're going to, he definitely has the mystique for it. I don't foresee him jobbing out a whole lot once he hits main roster. He'll be a very, I think he's going to be a highly protected guy. There's no reason you can't have him kick off a new win streak at WrestleMania. His style, with the exception of doing the bouncing, the jumping off ropes thing without his hands.
Oh, yeah.
Grabbing the ropes, that gives me anxiety every single time.
Yeah, same here.
With the exception of that, granted his style is physical, but it's not like, I don't really see him being injured a whole lot. I could be wrong about that, but I don't really see that.
I got to change my answer. Forgot about that.
Oh, he had already lost?
Yeah, he did lose.
Interesting.
He took the pin at WrestleMania 31.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's right. All right, so anyways, that's my answer, Aleister Black.
Oh, wow. Now I have to think of an answer on the fly. I did have Roman Reigns, so I was thinking, he's not going to lose anytime soon at WrestleMania.
Well, he'll probably set a new record for main eventing WrestleMania.
Yeah, that could be. So I got to think of a new answer,
mm-hmm.
a different answer. Oh, man. I got to think on my feet, on my toes.
Like a younger guy. Wouldn't it be great if Adam Cole, Bebe, like had...
Just squeaked out win after win.
Yeah, for like 25 years.
Yeah. I'll just say this. I know he didn't win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal last year, but Braun Strowman, the singles competition, won't lose at WrestleMania for his entire career until maybe he's like 45 years old.
You know, your previous answer of, no, that wasn't predictions. Braun's partner being Big Show. If that comes to pass, I really hope they don't try to saddle Braun with being like heir apparent to Big Show. I want Braun to be heir apparent to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
That's what he should be.
Yeah.
I don't want him to be heir apparent to Big Show.
Yeah, same. So I'll say Braun Strowman.
All right. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got Brandon from Starve Inc. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, friendos. Brandon from Starve Inc. here with another Matt Chat question. My question is to you about John Cena and Undertaker match at WrestleMania. We all know it's going to happen, right? Like, it's going to happen. But let's just say it doesn't. Tell me why CM Punk returning and facing John Cena is a better idea? Or Larson, tell me why Kenny Omega debuting and fighting John Cena is a better idea. Thanks, friendos. Too sweet.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you very much.
I go first. Better opponent for Cena at WrestleMania 34. CM Punk hasn't wrestled in how many years? 4 years?
Been a while.
4 years?
Yeah.
He's been doing the UFC
4 years, yeah.
Doing the UFC thing.
Well,
kind of.
I mean, yeah.
We did it once.
Yeah.
He's been training for it. I don't know. Beyond just ring rust, I know he's dropped a lot of weight. He's done like, what, 180 as opposed to 115, 120, or sorry, 215, 220, what he was wrestling at.
Right.
So that could pose an issue against Cena. I mean, he would already be at a weight disadvantage. If he was at his
would
previous...
Would you just talk up your answer?
Hold
talk
on.
Talk up your guy.
I will.
Just running down my guy.
A disadvantage in terms of size to Cena, even if he was at his normal wrestling weight, but minus 30 or 40 pounds, it's going to be at a huge disadvantage. Whereas Kenny Omega is fresh. Yeah, he might have a cracked orbital bone.
Fresh?
He's in peak condition. He's one of the best wrestlers in the entire world.
That's true.
He is the best bout machine. So if they're going to bring in a surprise opponent for John Cena, should The Undertaker not make it to WrestleMania 34?
Contract issues be damned.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, like, he's under contract for the rest of the year in New Japan, but whatever. Just...
It's Matt Chat. We don't adhere to
the
rules.
Yeah, to legally binding documents, apparently. Yeah. Kenny Omega is one of, if not the hottest name in all of wrestling. Yeah, CM Punk would get a massive pop, but I think the quality of the match would be vastly better if Kenny Omega were Cena's opponent as opposed to CM Punk. Yes, they've had great feuds in the past, Punk and Cena, but Punk hasn't wrestled in 4 years. Who knows what kind of wrestling shape he is in? Mm-hmm. Who knows if he could get right back in the ring and be the wrestler, any semblance of the wrestler he used to be? Give me someone who's still an active competitor in a wrestling ring. Give me Kenny Omega.
So all your issues with CM Punk essentially are just that he's really skinny, and that can all be, look, Christian Bale took 6 weeks after filming The Machinist to get from Machinist body to Batman body.
Yeah, but he didn't have to wrestle.
That is a horribly unsafe way to do things, by the way. However, CM Punk, as evidenced by his one UFC match, is okay with doing things that are unsafe to his own body. So I'm pretty sure that he can take a couple months out before he actually goes to, back to WWE. Oh, for WrestleMania. It's like a couple days. That's like today.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's okay. He'll go in there with his like little tiny skinny weight. He'll crash. He'll cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase on the Cruiserweight Championship match first, because he's, you know, well under 205.
Yeah, he's a Cruiserweight now. Yeah.
He'll tap some people out using his now pretend UFC skills. And then, he'll crash Cena's party, and he'll make Cena tap out. Crowd goes wild. CM Punk wins, and they give him the Universal Championship as well.
Just give it to him.
They just give it to him. Mm. Yeah, they're like,
that's quite a fantasy you've just told there.
Yeah, sorry, I'm reading this thread on Twitter. It's in Spanish. Some guys are just recommending our show, but they're doing it in Spanish.
Okay,
that's cool.
Next question from Thayer Thabata. Let's see what Thayer has to say.
Hey guys, so a lot of people think that WCW going out of business was the worst thing that could have ever happened to the wrestling industry. And a lot of people also think that New Japan Pro Wrestling was in danger of that happening to them at some point in the 2000s, I believe. But of course, they got out of that funk and they got to the heights that they are at now. But my question is this. Would it have been better for the wrestling industry as a whole if it was New Japan Pro Wrestling that went out of business instead of WCW? Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Thayer.
Did you notice how he was talking? He's like backing away.
I really wasn't slowly. Paying attention.
He does that. I talked to him personally at Strong Style
Evolved. Yeah, I know.
And like as I was talking to him, he was just back away very slowly. We ended up completely away from
him. When I talked to him, we just stood next to each other, and I don't remember backing away. Maybe you were the one that was backing away.
Maybe. Well, I was. Was I backing him down?
I don't know.
Anyways, I do like this. Did he film this on April Fool's or something?
Oh, maybe.
Would it have been better if New Japan went out of business rather than WCW? I don't think anybody in the world could argue that point. Here's the thing. We kind of saw WCW after WCW, and it was TNA.
Yeah.
They had virtually everybody who could have been in WCW. At one point, they had Hogan and Bischoff running things. They had Vince Russo running things. Ugh. Jeff Jarrett was running things. Ugh. So we saw what WCW, and granted, now they're Impact Wrestling, but they're not exactly a threat to WWE. They're essentially now an indie company.
Yeah.
Or they are running their business like an indie company.
Yeah.
And I think it's great what they're doing.
Yeah, me too.
If we had more time in our hands, we'd totally co-host. We would have co-hosted on Friday that their Twitch live stream of their show. That being said, no, WCW was a complete and total mess.
Yeah.
I mean, for like the last, 2 years of their existence?
Yeah. They were a disaster. If it hadn't happened in 2001, it seemed like it would have happened at some point because they were losing their TV deal. AOL, not interested in investing in pro wrestling whatsoever. It would have been a struggle to find another TV deal potentially.
Apparently the only crux would have been had that dude who was there at TNT or AOL Time Warner, if he was cool with wrestling, Bischoff would have bought the company and they would have been on TV. And who knows, maybe Bischoff would have found a way to sort of, you know, shed money.
I don't know, because he was in charge for pretty much the entire peak WCW. And in the end, look where it got him.
You're right. Because the problem was, once you start opening Ted Turner's checkbook, the expectations are so high.
Yeah.
And so if he would have come in and those, you know, deals would have essentially gone away, people would have just been going elsewhere. They'd have I can't get all this guaranteed money. If Vince doesn't want me, then I'm just going to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Everybody would have flocked, would have run away from WCW anyways, and they would have ended up, I don't know, it would not have been good. So, no. New Japan, much, much better.
Yes.
Than WCW.
Yes.
Next up, Joe Jensen's got a question. Let's see what Joe has to say.
Steve Larson, Minnesota Gardner Snakes, why I call Joe Jensen here. My question is, what's better for business, Hollywood writers or people with wrestling experience, managers, wrestlers, so on and so forth? As it comes to creative, which one's better for business? Let me know. Too sweet, hearty handshake, swig a beer.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Oh, man, Hollywood writers. Give me Hollywood writers. Listen to these names that I've come up with. Stanley Kubrick. Well, I'm going to ask them. What are these? Hold on. Don't say anything. What do these names have in common, Larson? Stanley Kubrick. Paul Thomas Anderson. Steven Spielberg. Martin Scorsese. Jordan Peele. What do all those names have in common?
They probably never write for WWE.
No, they're all Hollywood writers
who would probably never write
for WWE. They're all Hollywood writers. So if the question is, what would you rather have? Hollywood writers. Names like, who else do I like?
Edgar Wright.
Edgar, I don't really like him. Jean Renoir.
All right.
What are those, a couple of those fancy guys? Alan Clark.
Okay.
Who do I like that's British? Stanley Kubrick.
Well, he was American. He just lived in. He just lived
not
in
even
Great
British.
Britain.
Exactly. Who won the Oscar this year?
I honestly don't remember.
Me neither. Jordan Peele.
You already mentioned him.
Why am I having this hard time coming up with? Hold on.
That Guillermo del Toro movie won Best Picture.
Oh yeah. Best writers.
Best Hollywood writers.
Best movie writers. Oh, Robert Zemeckis.
You're just naming.
Hold on. Oh, I don't want him. I don't want Alan Woody. Charlie Kaufman. Quentin Tarantino. Just don't let him direct you in a car chase scene. Christopher Nolan. Spike Jones. Aaron Sorkin. Jordan Peele.
I like Jordan Peele a lot.
Francis Ford Coppola. James L. Brooks. Ben Affleck. Cameron Crowe, Ernest Hemingway, Truman Capote, Rob.
Really going back in time.
How about
there?
Rob Reiner? Who wouldn't want Rob Reiner?
Right, I think the point
wrestling
of his question is not esteemed Hollywood.
These are all Hollywood
screenwriters. I think he means people that worked in television that would be as hired in lieu of people with actual experience in the wrestling industry.
Francois Truffaut.
Go back, you know, like 30 years where the writers' room in probably WWE or NWA wasn't a bunch of Hollywood writers. It was a bunch of people who had experience in the industry. You'd have your lead booker, like in WCW for the longest time, it was Dusty. Dusty.
Kevin Sullivan.
Dusty ran the booking committee, and he'd have people in the room with them to discuss ideas, but in the end, it was Dusty making the final decision.
Who wouldn't want some wrestling by Terrence Malick? Oh, the icon, Orson Welles.
Well, he's no longer with us. That's kind of an issue if you
put
want to
put him into the head of the NWO.
WWE.
New.
So I kind of
New Wells Order.
New Wells Order. New Wells Orson.
New Wells Orson.
I kind of feel like, as we've seen with WWE's product lately, it could benefit from having its roots not in what's that guy's name, Sid Field, that did the screenwriting program where you got to have your story, your three act structure and all that.
Okay, cool.
Not that.
Okay.
But guys with actual experience in the wrestling industry who not only know the industry but love it. I feel like, I worry at least, there are times when WWE hires writers because the writers need a job, not necessarily because they have an affinity for the wrestling industry.
Yeah.
And so if I. Ideally, you'd want to have someone who has experience in the industry and has a love for the industry, but also is actually a good writer.
How about this? You remember when Kevin Nash said, the problem with writing WCW is that we had Nitro on Monday, and then we had Thunder
on Thursday,
but then the problem was we had Nitro again on Monday, but then we also had a Thunder on the next Thursday.
He had a schedule he had to adhere to.
That's what happens when you get wrestlers to write wrestling. Kevin Sullivan, you get him to write wrestling. And what happens? The last year of WCW, you know? So I say get Hollywood auteurs to write seasons of wrestling. Who wouldn't want to see David Fincher's WWE for 6 months? That would be amazing.
Here's a problem with getting a Hollywood auteur to do seasons of wrestling is that Vince won't cede control, Steve. Vince wants absolute control, much like these Hollywood auteurs demand on their own sets.
Lars von Trier.
They want it. He definitely demands control of his set. They want to oversee
Soderbergh
every aspect of their production. And in WWE, they won't be able to do that.
Give me a WWE written by Robert Altman.
Well, he's no longer with us, Steve.
Yeah, he's dead. Oh, are you kidding me? David Cronenberg does WWE.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be cool. But
have
I much
him
prefer
do the Wyatt Family.
I'd much prefer him to do a 2-hour Wyatt Family movie as opposed to try to get control of an entire year of WWE product from Vince McMahon.
Jean-Luc Godard's Alphaville in the WWE. How great would that
be? All right, that'd be good.
Have you ever seen? Wait, that was Jean Renoir. No, was that Godard?
Yeah, it was Godard.
It was a Godard?
I've seen Alphaville.
That was a great. How many sci-fi movies? If you guys are sci-fi movie fans, go check out Alphaville, and you will see the one movie that everybody ripped off.
Pretty much.
Just blatantly ripped them off.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious. Anyways, moving on. What a great question that was. Davey Scott with like my favorite head of hair amongst all of our friendos. He's got a question that's is a $1 million question.
Yeah.
Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, friendos. It's 1997. You're Bret Hart. Do you stay with the WWF or do you jump ship to WCW? Knowing what we know now about how the Attitude Era played out and how the booking of WCW with Nash, Hall, and Hogan played out, do you stay or do you go? Let me know. Thanks.
Thank you, Davey Scott.
Oh, well, wow. I've got a huge decision, you know. You know, I've got a huge decision. Should I take Vince's offer, you know, and stay here in WWF, or should I go to WCW when they're offering me, like, you know, a lot of money, you know? Wow, what should I do? Obviously, Bret Hart should have stayed in WWF, because look what happened when he left. He was terrible. He did not seem happy at all. You know what's funny is that I saw, like, one of them shoot interviews with Bret Hart where he was talking about how he was responding, I think. No, he responded maybe on his podcast or something to Eric Bischoff, saying that when Bret Hart came to the company, he was a shell of a man. If you look at Bret Hart walking down the ramp during his first WCW appearance, he really did come off like a shell of a man. He did not look like he wanted to be there at all. So the interesting thing with Bret Hart is that would there have been a place for him in WWF? I wonder if Vince, just like Vince sort of relegated Macho Man to the commentary booth when he was doing his New Generation, I wonder if he felt Bret Hart doesn't really fit in here. So I'm fine seeing him off on his way, because he has to go if I'm ever going to take this to the level that I think it's headed towards. I don't know. But, I mean, he did have a good run with the anti-American pro-Canadian thing towards the end, the Hart Foundation, with Pillman and all them. But, I don't know. I don't know if Vince would have kept him.
I don't know, and I don't know if Bret was really into the direction the company was headed to. I know I'm pretty sure he had some problems with edgier content. I think he favored a more family-friendly approach.
Like, everything he hated about his most hated rival, Shawn Michaels, was becoming the company.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I don't know if he'd necessarily want to stick around. I think what made him a shell of a man was not going to WCW. It was the Montreal Screwjob. If they had found a way for him to drop that title without that incident happening, I think his outlook going into WCW would have been vastly different.
I really wonder. I don't know if that one thing would have done that. Like, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're completely right. It's also very likely that he just showed up day one at WCW and was like, this place,
what have I gotten myself
this
into?
This place is a shithole.
Yeah, I know.
What am I doing
But
here?
Then if you're coming, I mean, it would probably doubly be so if you're coming off a situation where you're basically humiliated on live pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's true.
If that hadn't happened, you know, he could at least gone to WCW and say, okay, this is a product that is far from perfect, but they're more in line with potentially my own sensibilities, and there's an extra zero then in my paycheck, which helps out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think more than anything, it's the Montreal Screwjob that kind of messed with his psyche. I think if you alleviate that issue, which is a huge issue, and then granted, they found no way to alleviate that issue at the time. But if they could have come to an agreement about how he would have dropped that belt, I mean, Bret does lose it in Canada, it's fine. Then he should have gone, because he might not have had a place in where the WWF was going. And he could have went to WCW, carved out a place for himself, got paid handsomely for it. He was probably towards the tail end of his career anyway.
It's still bizarre to me. And it's funny because JBL brought it up to Eric Bischoff in that Legends interview. I think the same one where Bischoff said he was a shell of a man. Where JBL said, why didn't you just the very next night on Nitro?
Yeah, they should have brought him on TV.
Give him the microphone and let him say whatever he wanted to say. And Bischoff said, it's sounding, you know, diplomatically, I don't know, it probably would have been a good idea. We probably should have done that. Well, yeah, you should have done that. Of course you should have done that. That's not even a question.
No, Vince is on TV the next day saying, Bret screwed Bret. You definitely should have spared no expense in flying Bret to wherever Nitro is going to be and have him show up.
They were everything they did was designed to counter WWF.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they not? That boggles my mind that that wasn't just a no-brainer.
I know. Once they saw what happened in Montreal.
And why didn't Bret say, I've signed with you, I want to be on TV right now?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm on the phone with you.
Well, it would make more sense, I guess, for Bret, because he was probably devastated when all that happened. He might not have been in the emotional state to call up Bischoff and say, all right, I'll go on TV with a live mic and just give
me
15
if somebody
minutes,
if somebody but, pushes you to the ground and pees on you in front of a lot of people,
oh yeah,
and somebody says, hey, do you want to get that anger that you're feeling right now off your chest? And granted, I don't know what I don't freaking know what his mindset was like.
Yeah, I don't know
either. You're probably right, but Bischoff didn't. I will say this: if Bret Hart was offered that and turned it down because of his state of mind, I'm pretty sure Eric Bischoff would have been on the JBL thing saying, we offered it to Bret and he didn't want to. Mm-hmm. I'm almost positive he would have said that. So I really doubt that was the case. They had like a plan for how to use him, and they executed that as opposed to, hey, let's call an audible. This Montreal Screwjob thing is hot. Let's bring him right now. And it's not that he couldn't be on TV, because he could have been. It's he couldn't wrestle, I think, until whenever, like the no compete. I don't know what it was. But so he could have been on TV on a microphone. Absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't do that. I don't know.
Mind-boggling that he didn't do that. So anyways.
Next.
I know they had an issue with like the whole championship thing because of, I think Medusa tossing into the trash.
Yeah.
I think at that point the WWF had like sued them for, you know, doing that or saying, hey, don't do that again. And that's why Bischoff said, yeah, we didn't have him bring like a title over or something like that. But I don't know, man. I would have said, hey, Ted Turner, get ready with some lawyers because he's bringing his replica title or whatever out and saying, I'm still the champion. Anybody who watched that last night saw me get screwed out of this title. Mm-hmm, so I don't know. I think they
dropped the ball.
I wonder if that, if that one dropping of the ball wouldn't have been some sort of sea change in itself.
I don't know.
It was, you know, the fall of WCW was a massive set of bad decisions across a number of years, but I don't know. That always bugged the crap out of me.
Next from Daryl the Cat Takahashi.
Let's see what he has to say.
What's good, Stephen Larson, many friendos out there? It's the Cat, Daryl Takahashi. My question for Matt Chat this week is, what top-tier talent from New Japan Pro Wrestling would have the toughest time if at any point WWE New Japan crack a deal transitioning to working in the WWE? Thanks, boys.
Thank you, the Cat.
Thank you.
I like your answer a lot.
Yeah.
I guess if it was the person you selected 10 years ago.
Well, I haven't even said my answer yet, man.
I know, I'm not going to say who it is. But I'll say Tomohiro Ishii.
Okay.
He's great in the ring. Fantastic in the ring. Mm-hmm. Hard hitting. Does a lot of brain busters. I just worry if he were to go to WWE with their emphasis on personality. Mm-hmm. He's got a very, you know, his gimmick is Stone Pitbull. He's got he's very stone-faced.
Yeah, yeah.
And which makes him a great foil for Yano when they're a tag team. But if he were to go to WWE by himself, I worry that he'd be relegated to the role of great worker that puts on good matches and can, to a certain degree, get himself over due to his immense in-ring talent. But at the end of the day, there's always going to be a ceiling for talents like that in WWE, people who can't project this larger-than-life personality.
Yeah.
So that'd be my worry with Ishii. He's great to watch in the ring. Fantastic. Yeah, no, I love his work.
Yeah, he's so much fun, but he fits in so well with New Japan.
Yes.
My answer is Tanahashi. Roshi Tanahashi.
And I think 10 years ago, it might be a bit different.
Oh, it'd be way different.
Yeah.
Over the past 10 to 15 years, he's carved out a legacy unlike anybody else in New Japan. I can say that without even having watched most of his career because, like, even if you're brand new to New Japan, which we're about a year into it, you understand his legacy. So if they brought him in, and unless he was treated like John Cena, unless he was treated as immediate top guy, which because of where he is in his age, I'm not sure they would have a spot for him in that role. I just feel like that would probably fall flat. Shinsuke Nakamura has a very cool thing going for him.
He's also got a larger-than-life personality.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Tanahashi doesn't. But his aesthetic isn't as cool as Nakamura's, and it could be construed as a bit corny if it was placed in the WWE.
Well, it's not too different than what Tony Nese wears to the ring.
Oh, yeah. Come on. There's no comparison there. Like, you're just talking about the little booby vest thing. Yeah. I'm talking about, like, his hair, his air guitaring thing, love and energy, all that kind of stuff.
It fits into New Japan because the aesthetic of New Japan is so cool that you can afford to be a bit corny and get away with it. But like in WWE is so corny anyways, it would just be extra super cartoony. So I don't know. I just feel like that thing, because he has such a lasting legacy in New Japan, because he's already, you know, so many years into his career, if they didn't give him immediate top spot, and I'm sure a lot of the fan base who are unfamiliar with him would just be like, wait, why is this guy immediately getting the top spot? I mean, even Shinsuke worked his way through NXT. I just feel like Tanahashi is such a larger-than-life personality that putting him down there in NXT, working... It was even weird when Shinsuke was working 300-person shows.
I know.
You know, after doing Tokyo Dome.
I know.
So I think I feel like that would be a little bit oddball for Tanahashi to go to WWE. I don't think that they would use him right.
Yeah.
I think a lot of other, like, Okada... They would roll out the red carpet.
Oh, Omega.
It would make sense. Same. Omega.
Naito.
Absolutely. Yeah. Naito would totally be cool.
A lot of the junior heavyweights, Ospreay, Takahashi,
Skrull. Skrull would do gangbusters, yeah.
Even Kushida.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. They have to be okay being on 205 Live. Next up, we've got Kyle Steven. Let's see what he has to say.
Aloha, friendos. Kyle Steven here. Quick Matt chat debate question. And my first. WWE main roster is looking to have a third brand. Bring back ECW or bring back WCW? Which one do you guys think? And bonus, who do you think should be on those rosters?
Thank you, Kyle Steven.
Thank you, Kyle Steven.
You get to go first.
Great question, because I love my answer. It's ECW. I'll always go back to this. There was that damn network survey that got my hopes up, asking if people would like to see a TVMA or TV-14. I forget what it was.
TV-14.
TV-14 version of ECW. And I think on TV-14, you can say like the S word or I don't know, something like that. So yeah, I would love to see ECW come back. Who would be on that roster? Roderick Strong. Aleister Black. No, I want him on Raw. Oni Lorcan. Oni freaking Lorcan could be there. Maybe Sanity. Lars Sullivan would make a good addition to ECW. There are some names for you.
All right, I just came up with a great idea. Bring back WCW in name, but this is what you do. You go to Atlanta Center Stage Theater, where WCW Saturday Night used to be filmed.
Yeah.
And you know what you do? What was one of the things that WCW brought to wrestling here in America? Cruiserweight action.
Oh, that's cool.
Rebrand 205 Live, WCW, shoot it. At the Atlanta Center Stage Theater.
World Cruiserweight Wrestling.
Yes. That's how you do it.
I like it.
The roster 205.
That's a great idea. That's a really good idea. I like that idea. That's good. And have Kevin Sullivan book it.
No,
have Kevin Nash book it. The problem is,
we got to do a show, two shows every week.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's called a schedule, Kevin.
It's a schedule. So the problem is, they wanted us to wake up at 9 and then be there by 11.
Usually I don't wake up till 12.
Usually
I'll and I'm not really getting 12. Out of the house till 3.
Till 3. Sorry, boss. All right, anyways,
next up. From Broken Steve. Let's see what Broken Steve has to say.
Hey, Steven Larson. Broken Steve here with my first ever Matt Chat question. My question for you guys is simple. What do you think would be the better match between former Bullet Club leaders, Kenny Omega versus Finn Balor, or AJ Styles versus Adam Cole? Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Broken Me.
Thank you, Broken Steve. I get to go first. Okay. So if I get my choice, give me the match between two former Bullet Club leaders, Finn Balor, Kenny Omega. I'm sure they wrestled in the junior division in New Japan at some point. But Kenny Omega has taken his game to a whole other level, has Finn Balor.
Yeah.
So you get the story of the very first Bullet Club leader taking on not really the current leader, but I guess the third leader.
Mm-hmm.
And you have that dynamic, which would be lacking from a match between AJ and Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Adam Cole was an enthusiastic member of Bullet Club, but never really its leader. Give me that story, that dynamic. See, there's a match right there. I'm sure this is great. Look at that. Quality wrestling right
real.
There. You can harken back to all that. The real rock and rolla, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the match I would like to see.
All right, well, give me AJ Styles versus Adam Cole, baby. I'm sure we're going to get that anyways. I think it'll be fantastic. I am curious. One day I want to get this answer from somebody. If the storyline that we currently see with Cody Rhodes was meant for Adam Cole.
One of the Young Bucks said that, yeah.
So, wait, did he confirm?
Yeah.
Would it have been through and through? I mean, Cody has made
No, Adam Cole is supposed to be that spot. That was supposed to be the Adam Cole in that role.
I know, but I wonder how much of it they
changed after Adam Cole decided to leave that.
Because Cody is a very specific, he's doing a very specific thing that Adam Cole really wasn't. And although you can adapt it, whatever, I do think that the Cody role with it just fits so much better.
Oh yeah.
Because Adam Cole was like the most Bullet Club branded person.
Oh, I know.
It would have been difficult for me to believe that he would start trying to rebrand it in his own image.
I don't think they went that far. He just would have tried to usurp
leadership. Yeah, right. That's what I figured.
He was so Bullet Club, he wanted to be all Bullet Club.
I wonder like how much of like the matches that were like laid out. I mean, you could, just plop him in there and change the story a little bit. But that would have been an interesting alternate universe situation. Kenny Omega goes top. Oh!
Misses the 450.
Misses the 450. Real. Gets the win. Anyways, good question.
Great question. Neth,
we're
next.
We're probably going to get, I hope we get AJ versus Adam Cole. That'd be
I hope so. Matthew Menutoli. Let's see what Matthew has to say.
Hey guys, Matt here. First time patron, first time question asker. Now, my question for you guys today, or my debate topic, I should say, is with all these live events that are being rumored or have been announced, for example, the greatest Royal Rumble and this live event coming down to my neck of the woods in Melbourne at the MCG, that WWE are trying to get 100,000 for. Doubt they'll get it. Hope they do. Do you guys think that the WWE is going to be introducing pay-per-views or even Raws and SmackDowns overseas? Or are they just going to do these live events and put them on the network to, I don't know, fill up some space on there? Because to be fair, besides the past pay-per-views and NXTs, there's not much really on the network that they offer at the moment. Pick either side. Doesn't bother me. Thanks.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you very much. It sounds like they're probably going to be doing a little bit of both. I think the time sort of difference is the big obstacle. Like, if they can do a Raw from Australia, that still fits in the Monday's time slot.
Well, they probably do when they go to the United Kingdom, is they just tape it.
Yeah, they tape it in advance. I'm a huge fan of the network special. I like that because here's the thing. You can brand these network specials specific to the land that they're in, specific to the culture that they're in, the design aesthetic that they're in. If they do a live show from Japan, I'm a big fan of Japanese graphic design. I think so much of it just looks amazing. And you see that in New Japan's design aesthetic that they use for their programming. And so if WWE, as opposed to just taking a Raw over there, over to wherever they are, and, you know, hey, this is where we are inside the building, but all the design aesthetics have to stay Raw, I'd rather them do these interesting network specials. The largest or the greatest, we keep on jokingly call it the largest Royal Rumble. The largest Royal Rumble, is a special deal. It forces them to be creative and we get interesting takes on their product, which we wouldn't get otherwise if they simply go and do another episode of Raw, which we'll get the spoilers from in advance because of what you're saying, or another episode of SmackDown or whatever. I would prefer to see network specials.
I like network specials. They're typically pretty fun, but I think barring one match of the specials we've seen thus far, they are largely without consequence. That match Finn Balor defeating Kevin Owens for the NXT title during the last, I believe, network special from Japan. Whereas when you go to a TV taping, whether something massive and important happens or not, you know what you're witnessing is going to have a bearing on the storylines that play out going forward. And while TV tapings aren't necessarily the most enjoyable wrestling experience because they take commercial breaks and so on and so forth, there's something about that that feels important. It's the difference between going to a live event and a house show. House show, you're going to a wrestling exhibition, essentially, whereas going to a TV taping, you're seeing storylines play out.
You're part of the story.
You're part of the story as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's one advantage TV tapings would have over potentially a network special. It remains to be seen if this largest Royal Rumble is going to be primarily an exhibition or if it's going to have some bearing on storylines going forward, like if the winner of this Rumble gets anything, you know? So that would be my one advantage I would give to TV tapings, is you get to see these stories play out and become a part of them.
And also, kind of piggybacking onto that thought, being part of the story, but also, hey, you know, every week I watch, if I'm overseas in some place, every week I watch Raw, I'd like to be at a Raw, not just, like you said, an exhibition. I want to be at a Raw, and then getting the opportunity to do that, I think could be a selling point for many people.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Then you get to make your sign, you get to be on broadcast television.
Exactly. Longtime friendo A.O. Worm has a question. Let's see what he has to say.
Everybody, what's going on? A.O. Worm back with another Matt Chat debate. All right, so my question is, which WWE superstar would you like to see their children come and wrestle for WWE? Like, for example, would you like to see Dave Finley Jr. come work for WWE? Would you like to see Devon's sons in the tag team division? Let me know what you guys think. All right, guys, too sweet. I'm out.
Thank you, A.O. Worm.
Man, we had to like think about this, and you are the one who pitched me my answer.
Yeah, but I'm going to go first. I'm going to say Tessa Blanchard. She's, I think, still in her early 20s, so she can still spend plenty of time in the independent ranks, gaining experience, honing her craft. But as we saw in the Mae Young Classic, her one match against Kairi Sane, she's ready for WWE right now.
That match between her and Kairi Sane could have been the finals match.
I know.
That
it was one of, if not the best match in the entire tournament.
Yeah.
She is stellar in the ring. You know, her father, Tully Blanchard, WWE Hall of Famer, is a member of the Four Horsemen. Yeah, I would really like to see her in WWE at some point. I'm pretty sure it'll probably happen again at some point. Just might take a couple more years.
We had a question not that long ago. I think it was last week. Somebody asked, maybe it was A.O. Worm, I forget who it was, asked what we want to see next for Paul Ellering. My answer is he can manage his daughter, Rachel Ellering. We saw her also in the Mae Young Classic. In fact, we saw her, rumor was, she was supposed to lose in that first round match against, I think, Marty Bell?
Yeah.
And apparently they were not, during the match, they were so unimpressed with Marty Bell that they flipped the script on the finish and had Rachel Ellering go over, which led her to a second round loss, I think.
Yeah.
And so I've seen a couple of her matches. I've always been very impressed with what I've seen. She's currently the love interest of Cassius Ohno.
Oh.
And so I think that it would be great to see her in NXT. And then I see, here's the thing, like, she also has a very charming personality when I've seen her on camera, and to see that sort of charming, bubbly personality contrasted with her very grim acting in character father could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably not going to happen, but I could actually totally see her showing up in NXT. I think it'd be fantastic.
I think she has wrestled a few matches in NXT before.
That would not surprise me.
Rachel Evers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right, yeah. So that'd be fun.
Yeah. Next, got a couple text-based questions here. First, from Dead Riot. This is what he has to say. Vince phones you and says, "We're bringing back the Brawl for All. We need to pick 8 wrestlers to enter." But he says, "No Brock, no Ronda Rousey. Who do you pick to put in it?" Would you like to go first?
Yeah, man. Here's
list your 8.
Here's my lineup. Baron Corbin. I think he's a former Golden Gloves guy.
That's what
I
say, yeah.
Shinsuke Nakamura. Legitimate MMA experience. Aleister Black. Trains in kickboxing. I don't know if he's ever been in real matches. I assume he has been. Dean Ambrose. Think it'd be hilarious. But have him dress the way he dresses, but with some giant boxing gloves. Think it'd be great. Kurt Angle. Won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. Chad Gable, legitimate wrestler. Cesar Bononi, pretty sure he's a real MMA guy.
Yeah, he did MMA in Brazil.
Sonya Deville, legit MMA gal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not really sure. They can't really have, like, you know, intergender actual fighting. That'd probably not be great.
No.
But I don't know. If they had a women's division for Brawl for All, Sonya Deville would be my top
pick. The thing is, if they did another Brawl for All, it wouldn't be kind of like the weird boxing type thing it was.
Right.
It would have to be more MMA focused
because
MMA is just more popular now.
Yeah.
So here's my 8. I'll start with Asuka. You're correct. They can't have real fighting intergender. That's weird. Off-putting. Off-putting. So it'd have to be, you'd have to have separate divisions for that. Also, Bobby Lashley.
Great.
Nakamura.
Great.
Jason Jordan.
So annoying.
Collegiate wrestler.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Chad Gable, who you stole from me.
Yeah, I did.
Olympic wrestler. Rusev, my understanding that he has trained in kickboxing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rezar of Authors of Pain, he has MMA experience.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Both great lists. Final question here from El Pupacabra. Power rank, the different incarnations of Cody Rhodes.
Well, American Nightmare is number one.
American Nightmare. Current Cody Rhodes is my favorite heel in the industry right now. He's doing great work. I can't say enough great things about him. During this Pro Wrestling Tee sale, it's happening right now. I'm going to buy a Cody Rhodes shirt.
the time when he used to hand out paper bags. That's got to be number two.
He used to have his henchmen put paper bags on people's heads.
That was
That's
good stuff.
Definitely number two. Dashing Cody Rhodes.
That was good with the mustache.
With the mustache, number three.
Stardust was kind of entertaining.
You know what? He seems to not have a huge... He seems not to have great memories about Stardust.
But he gave that gimmick
Man,
his
I
all.
Thought he killed it as yeah, Stardust. Yeah. I liked Stardust, and it was great.
Yeah, I thought Stardust was fun.
So
Legacy Cody Rhodes is probably last.
He's last, because I don't think he really even talked or did anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I do appreciate... Did you see on Twitter the exchange between him and Randy Orton?
Mm-mm.
Somebody tweeted a picture of Dusty.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah,
golfing.
Yeah.
And he was in his
tights, right?
Tights, but then a golfing shirt. And Cody tweeted back something like, you know, that didn't go over really well with the snooty snoots in my neighborhood, but I always appreciated it. And then Randy Orton said, yeah, my dad used to mow the lawn
in his tights.
In
yeah.
his tights. He says, I didn't appreciate it as much as I really love it that I do now. You know, back in the day, it used to be embarrassing, but now.
Yeah.
So I really love that those guys both. Yeah, I love the idea that Randy Orton's sitting there probably really happy with Cody Rhodes' current mm-hmm. state of affairs mm-hmm. because, my God, he's doing amazing
work. Oh, yeah, he is.
So, anyways, that's it for Matt Chat. Thank you all for your questions and your support of Going In Raw. We really appreciate it. Check us out later on today if you're watching us pre-WrestleMania. We're doing all of our live reactions to the kickoff on Twitch and the main card on YouTube. And, until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.